127th Psalm. The Bible says in verse 3, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of the mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." Verse 3 says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." Children truly are a blessing from God, and we should all be grateful for our children. And today, as we celebrate Father's Day and the men that we call dad, we think about dads. And as I thought about dads and the different dads that I know, and I thought about my dad and my grandfather, there's one thing about dads: they're all unique. And they all handle certain things and certain situations differently. And in preparation for the message, I ran across a few illustrations that illustrate that unique perspective of fathers. I want to share them with you this morning. On a brutal hot day, I walked past a miniature golf course and saw a dad following three small children from hole to hole. "Who's winning?" I shouted. "I am," said one kid. "Me," said the other. "No, me," yelled the third. Sweat dripping down his face, the dad gasped, "Their mother is." Another perspective that I thought was very interesting, it says the family was viewing old slides and one flashed on the screen that caught everyone's attention. My father, wearing his favorite golf shirt, was holding me at the tender age of 3 weeks. The look on his face told it all. "There's my prized possession," my father said. Touched, I smiled at him as he continued, "I wonder whatever happened to that golf shirt." The third and final one says, "I was on my way out of the house to meet with a cantankerous client, and I was dreading it. The look on my face must have given me away because my four-year-old daughter asked, 'Daddy, what's wrong?' 'I'm going to meet a woman who always yells at Daddy,' I told her. 'Oh,' she said, 'well, say hi to Mom.'" In all seriousness, being a father is a wonderful thing. It's been one of the greatest experiences of my life. And by far, my daughter Elizabeth is the greatest thing that I've ever done, and most likely will be the greatest thing that I ever do in my life. But since I've been a parent, I've experienced something interesting on several occasions in trying to raise Elizabeth. And God has used my experience as a father to try to help me better understand what He goes through on a very small scale as He tries to mature me as a believer. And it's if the experiences that I have with my daughter are a reflection of what God experiences with me as His child. What I go through, it's as if when I'm going through it and I find myself in frustration or difficulty, it's as if God flips it around and says, "See, this is what I have to deal with you spiritually." And this morning, I just want to share four of those simple reflections that I have seen in me trying to work and be a father to my daughter Elizabeth that God has shown me that are reflections of what God has to deal with as He tries to lead me as my Heavenly Father. And I hope that you'll take notes, and I hope that God will use it to be a blessing and encouragement to you. The first thing I want you to see is a reflection of His provision. A reflection of His provision. My wife and I may not be able to say that we've done everything right as parents. I'm sure we have not. But there is one thing that I can tell you with absolute assurance, and that is from the time that my daughter entered into this world until this very present day, there has never been a time when she has known hunger. Whether it's a time when she was nursing, or whether it's from the time that she's been in the transition from baby food to table food, my daughter has never gone a span longer than probably 3 to 4 hours, with the exception of her sleeping at night, where she has not had something to eat. Not long after we came to be the pastor here, we were living in a rental house over on Morgan Place. And I remember one day specifically that we were there, and it had gotten about that time when Elizabeth was going to eat, and she was, of course, still on the bottle. And it came around that time, and she began to let us know that she was hungry. And to be quite honest with you, she just kind of started going nuts out of nowhere. And some of you parents know what that's like. And it just hits you out of nowhere. And so at that moment, my wife frantically scurries into the kitchen and she's trying to put the bottle together and get the bottle warmed. And nothing takes longer in all the world than warming a bottle for a child that's crying. It feels like it takes an hour and a half, even though it's really only 2 or 3 minutes. But she's in there frantically doing that, and I'm standing there trying to do what dads do, just stay out of the way and you know, try to do whatever I can. And Elizabeth is just crying and screaming and just completely inconsolable. At which point in time, me standing in the kitchen, and I could see her in the little play area that we had, I looked at her and said this, "Elizabeth, there's not a time in your life since we brought you into this world that you've ever been hungry, that we've never provided for you. Just calm down. It's on the way." Now, I know she couldn't understand what I was saying, but have you ever done that as parents? It's like you talk to these little babies as if they can speak English like you can at that moment, and you expect them to respond like, "Okay, Daddy, I'll calm down." She didn't stop crying. She continued on till we got her the bottle. But almost instantaneously, after the words came out of my mouth, it was as if the Holy Spirit said, "That's exactly what I keep trying to tell you about the things in your life that you keep crying and whining and fussing at me about. That there's never been a time in your life since you were born, since you came to know me as Savior, since you started serving me, that I have not absolutely met every single need exactly when it needed to be met. But just like your daughter Elizabeth is crying and whining as if she was starving to death, that's the same attitude that you have so often in your Christian life." And it convicted me, because the reality is I realized how foolish it was. How foolish it was for my daughter to cry in such hysteria at me and her mother, as though she was not going to be provided for, as though somehow we had forgotten that she had a need and we were not going to meet it. And in that moment, God helped me realize that as a child of God, when I'm going through a crisis, when I'm going through a burden, and I'm crying out and I have all these thoughts in my mind and my heart filled with, "God, you've forsaken me. God, you're not going to meet this need. I've prayed and you've not taken care of it." It's just as equally foolish as my daughter crying to me and her mother. You say, "Pastor, do you have any scripture to back that up?" I sure do. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 and 32. This is what Jesus says. He says, "Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things." You take whatever it is in your life this morning that is grieving you, the thing that keeps you up at night, the thing that wakes you up in the morning. God knows absolutely what you're going through. And He knows maybe not what you want, but He knows what you need, and He knows what I need. And so you and I need to take the same lesson that God is trying to teach me and that God was trying to teach me in that moment, that He has provided, He's always provided, and He always will provide for His children. And you and I don't need to allow ourselves to be like a child, so whining and crying and fussing uncontrollably when God has yet to meet our need, because just as Anne Marie and I were working frantically to get her need ready and to get that bottle warmed up, God is working on giving you exactly what it is that you need to meet your situation. The first reflection I see this morning is about His provision, but I want you to notice the second reflection. The second reflection I see this morning is about His protection. It's about His protection. Since my daughter could walk, she has loved to be outside. She loves to go outside. She loves to explore, as all children do. And she never wants to go where she's supposed to go once she's outside. And one of her favorite things to do is to gather rocks in the driveway. Do any of your children enjoy gathering rocks? She's got $1,000 worth of toys and electronics in the house, but she'd rather go sit in the middle of our driveway and play with rocks. It's kind of the old adage, just get your children a box for Christmas. They'll be happier. Buy yourself something and take it out and give them the box. Save a lot of money and everybody will be happy, right? Well, Elizabeth loves to gather rocks and sit in the driveway, which is no problem, until she gets it in her mind that she needs to run to the end of the driveway near where the road is. She does it all the time. We'll be out there playing, having a good time, and all of a sudden the notion hits her, I need to run towards the road. So she takes off as cute as she is, and she's wobbling down the driveway, and she's going as fast as she can go. And I or her mother will try to run beside her, and we run beside her and kind of playfully this, that, and the other till we get to a point where we know we're in the danger zone, at which point in time we try to trot ahead and get in front of her and then try to play goalie. And I start off usually in a playful way. No, this is as far as we go. We got to turn around, make a U-ey, bang a U-ey, go back towards the house where it's safe. No, you can't go here. Her general response is to try to lower her head and play Red Rover and try to dive between my legs. At which time I usually catch her shoulders right here and I squeeze her and don't let her go. But if that doesn't work, she tries to run this way and run that way. And it starts off loving and playful until it's not. Until the time when she's decided, Dad, I'm going to the road and you just need to get on board with this. At which time, I usually have to pick her up, throw her over my shoulder like a sack of potatoes, and carry her kicking and screaming back towards the house, back towards safety. All Elizabeth can think about in that moment is what she wants and what she desires and what her will is. She is running headlong as fast as she can go towards what she wants, but she never gives consideration to the danger that may await in what it is that she wants. She never gives consideration to the fact that what her will is might not be what's best for her. And in those moments, as I've carried Elizabeth on my shoulders back down the driveway to safety, I've experienced the same thing that my Heavenly Father deals with me and that He deals with you as our children. Sometimes in our life, we get it in our mind that we want something or we think something should be a certain way. We haven't really prayed about it. We haven't longed for it. We haven't read in Scripture, but we just think it's what we want. Like Elizabeth, we get that whim in our mind to run towards the road. And sometimes, just like her, we run as fast and as hard as we can towards something that is dangerous for us, towards something that is not God's will for us, towards something that could harm us and damage us for life. And God gets in front of us and He gently and lovingly tries to say, no, we don't want to go this way. And what do? We lower our head and try to run between His legs, or we try to dance around to try to get around Him. We'll do anything and everything we can to try to accomplish what we want to get to where we want to go because it's what we desire until finally, sometimes just like I have to pick up Elizabeth kicking and screaming, God has to pick you and I up kicking and screaming spiritually where we're frustrated and mad and angry because He won't let us go where we want to go. He won't let us do what we want to do. But the whole thing is this. God is protecting us just as I'm trying to protect Elizabeth from something that would harm her and potentially kill her. It may be the thing that you're so mad at God about this morning. Maybe that God is trying to protect you from allowing you to enter into something that you think you want, but that might actually be very damaging and potentially fatal for your life. Proverbs 16 verse 9 says this, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. God wants to direct your steps. And here's the thing, sometimes the way that He directs our path is not the way we want to go. I guarantee you that if you had sit down and you had mapped out your life and said, I want this and I want this and I want to be here and I want to do this, that most likely the path that God has taken you on has not followed the course of action that you thought you would take. But God is in all things. And God is directing your steps. And so as I've seen and experienced this protection with Elizabeth, I've seen the same thing happen with God in my life, and I know that it has happened in your life. We've seen a reflection of His provision, a reflection of His protection. Let me share you a third thing as I kind of testify this morning, and that is the reflections of His punishment. The reflection of His punishment. How many of you can remember getting spanked or whipped with you call it a hickory switch. I'm from Hickory, so we just call it a switch. Two of y'all got that joke. Very good. Rest of y'all can take and write it down and think about it when you get home, okay? I used to get whipping sometimes when I was a kid. We got whipped with a switch. And how many times do you remember your parents, right before that first crack on your backside, they would make this statement? This is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. How many of you remember that? Anybody? Very good. Man, y'all were a bunch of bad kids getting whippings and spankings. And I don't know about you, but I can remember on more than one occasion when those words would echo from my dad's mouth, I would think to myself, bull. There ain't no way I'm getting ready to get physically abused here, man. I'm the one that's going to be going like this for the next 30 minutes, and you're going to go off and drink tea or do whatever you want to do. But as a parent, and those of you who are parents can testify to this, only when you become a parent can you understand how that statement is true. Only as a parent do you understand that when you must discipline your children, and children need discipline, some more than others, it breaks your heart. Some kids are hard-headed. No matter what you do, it doesn't seem to affect them. Some kids, you can tan their backside, as we used to say, and 30 minutes later, they'll be doing the exact thing that you just spanked them for. Other kids, you can spank their butt, you can discipline them, you can put them in a timeout, and they wouldn't even walk near what it was they were doing. Some children have a more stubborn will. Some children have a very tender-hearted will. My daughter may transition from one to the other, but as for right now, Elizabeth has a very tender heart. Sometimes Elizabeth likes to play with these blinds that we've got beside a sliding glass door. They're not very expensive, and because of that, they can rip, and she has tested that, and some of them have come down at times. So when she gets near them and starts to play with them, I don't like it. And neither does her mother, and we call her down. Sometimes when we're trying to eat dinner and we're trying to teach her to sit in a chair, she thinks that the table is actually a place for her to stand on and climb on, and I said, no. All I have to do when we're sitting there eating, or she's across the room, is say, Elizabeth, no. And she sticks her bottom lip out, and sometime after it hits the floor, she starts crying and wailing, and she runs to her mama, whose also bottom lip is on the floor, and she's crying and wailing. And I'm sitting there trying to enjoy my supper, and I got two women in my house that are crying and wailing. But you know what? Even though she needs that discipline, Proverbs 13:24 says, he that spareth the rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. It breaks my heart to punish her. It breaks my heart to see that bottom lip come out. It breaks my heart to see her crying. And it breaks God's heart when he has to punish and discipline us. But he does it the same reason that you discipline your children and the same reason I discipline Elizabeth. Because he loves us. Consider this scripture reference, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. The spiritual application of that is this. If you're doing something that you shouldn't be doing, God will chasten you for that. He will discipline you for that. He will speak to you from that and say, no, that's not right. You shouldn't be doing that. We would just relate it to, I feel guilty doing that, or I feel wrong doing that. That's the Spirit of God chastening us. That's the Spirit of God saying, no, don't do that. You shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be acting that way. You shouldn't respond that way. And he doesn't do it because he hates us. He does it because he loves us and he desires what is best for us. And when I see Elizabeth stick her lip out and I see it breaking her heart, it reminds me as a dad of how much it breaks God's heart when he must chasten us as his children. But notice the fourth and final reflection this morning. We'll be through. The fourth reflection I see is a reflections of his pleasure. Reflections of his pleasure. God has an indescribable love and pleasure for his people. And the only thing I think that we can understand and relate how much God loves us is to relate as parents and grandparents how much we love our children and how much we love our grandchildren. A few weeks after Elizabeth was born, I don't know why I remember this day so vividly, but I do. I'd been at the church that we were serving in West Virginia, and we'd had a hard day. We had just a difficult day, things going on, people weren't doing what they said they would do, or this. I can't remember all the details, but I just remember I came home. On a ride home, I was frustrated, I was worn out, and I was tired. A day that I'd had multiple times. But I came home, and I remember walking up on the porch of our house there in West Virginia and going inside, and we had a little glider swing that I don't know what we would have done. I don't know how they made it on the Oregon Trail without a glider swing, but we couldn't make it here today without the glider swing. And I remember walking in, and there was Elizabeth in that little glider swing. And I remember looking down at her and thinking to myself, I don't care if our church burns to the ground today. I don't care about any of the problems that are going on there. She had captivated my heart and my attention. And just seeing her brought pleasure to me. A pleasure that was undescribable. A pleasure that said, I don't care what else is going on in the world. I don't care what other burdens are going on in the world. I am so happy and content in this very moment. And even now, to see her little smile or to hear her laughing in the other room as she gets tickled about something, it took everything else away and nothing else mattered. As a father, I love for those moments. I love to see her smile. I love to tickle her and to hear her laugh. I love to see her enjoying herself. It does something for me. And the same way that I love and long for those moments with her, our Heavenly Father loves and longs for those moments with us. And the sheer fact of me walking into a room after a hard day and seeing her and it bringing that joy to me is the same thing that happens with our Heavenly Father. He takes pleasure in His creation. He takes pleasure in you and He takes pleasure in me. Consider this scripture verse in Psalm 149:4. For the Lord taketh pleasure in His people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. When the Lord looks down from heaven at you and you're serving Him and you're obeying Him, it's just the same as with when my little girl or your child or your grandchild smiles or when they come and put their arms around their neck. Is there anything more precious than a child clinging around your neck and you holding them and carrying them to bed? Some of your children are too big to do that, but you can remember what it was like. The point is this, God loves us and He loves you. You say, preacher, how much does He love me? So much that He gave His only Son to die on a cross so that He could call you and so that He could call me His children. Beloved, God loves and craves our affection and our adoration for Him. The same as a father or a grandfather or a mother and a grandmother craves the affection of their children. So this morning as we conclude, may God help us this Father's Day. Not just to be grateful for our earthly fathers. There's so many things I could tell you that I've learned from my dad or my grandfather. But may we give thanks and praise to our Heavenly Father today. And may we remember that He always provides, He always protects. Sometimes He punishes us. But He always takes pleasure in His children. Let's bow our heads in prayer.